For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello, welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. A lot to get into on a Thursday, but a new Thursday tradition. We may switch days. We may switch things around. At some point, this will be a standalone podcast, but it is Sports Media Thursday. I wanted to welcome in my good friend, Joe Favorito. Joe, I did not mention how folks can read your amazing newsletter. By the way, you were way ahead of the game. I think everyone's got like an email newsletter, including the Sporting Tribune. Joe, how can people read what you're putting out there?
Arash, always great to talk to you. On the SMT, that's what we're calling it, the Sports Media Thursday.
I like that.
Yeah. The easiest way, I mean, you can sign up on my website, joefavorito.com. Follow me on Twitter at joefav, joefavnix on Instagram. It comes out on Sundays. Drop me any information. Would love to get it to you. You follow me anywhere you can, and let's get you signed up, and hopefully people will join.
Joe, I'm going to throw you a curveball. We normally have a list and like an outline of what we're going to talk about, but we got connected via your, well, there was a few things, but again, whenever there's a movie out there with a slightly sports tie-in, Joe Fav is a part of it. I am tomorrow, Friday, going to see a preview of Clipped. And here's my issue going into the film. I am way too close to the story to enjoy it from afar. This took place about 10 years ago, so it's not that far, not that long ago. B, I was on the Clippers beat during the whole Donald Sterling v. Stiviano tape thing. I think if you're not a sports fan, I think you'll probably enjoy it more. There's no one who is not familiar with the story. So I think there's going to be two silos for this movie. I think if you've forgotten about it or you're not a big sports fan, you can sit back and just enjoy the story. It's a fascinating story. You'll enjoy it. I think if you're a hardcore sports fan or you're someone like me who was like, this was my life for a year, I think I'm going to be too preoccupied with Lawrence Fishburne doesn't look like Doc Rivers. Yeah. And, you know, your thoughts on the film.
I think that's a big problem. And I saw that with the two Lakers documentaries, the one that was actually the documentary and then the Hangtime one. I didn't enjoy the Hangtime one anywhere near as I enjoyed the real one, because you're looking at it and saying, that's, you know, John O'Reilly. That's not who I think it is. And, I've always found that as problematic when you go to cinematic stories that you're really that close to. But I think people will enjoy it. I think, frankly, probably a lot of people have forgotten about what actually happened.
Yeah.
And the license that they get, the editorial license that they get to see how far they stray would be interesting. Ironically, Arash, I remember it was Adam Silver. It was at a Sportico conference in September when all this came about, and he talked about how he made the decision, which was to listen first and then react. And, you know, it was a pretty stern decision, no pun intended, with the late commissioner's name being involved, but obviously very historic, and the Intuit Dome probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Donald Sterling getting kicked out of the NBA.
Yeah, the one thing that I thought of is that I know the Clippers are very sensitive about how they are perceived in the market, and so their tagline, like, I forgot it, and I don't have it in front of me, but like Los Angeles is like other basketball team, like, or the other team in town. So, I remember when there was a list of candidates to buy the Clippers, and a lot was made about Steve Ballmer paying $2 billion. And it's so amazing, Joe. Now, you know, you'll look back at
it's
it.
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain, Arash. Beyond a bargain. I mean, if the Clippers were to be sold, it would be at least twice that. I mean, what franchises are going for now? It's amazing.
Well, they become real estate companies, too. That's the other part of this. As you look at, even in minor league baseball, where the stadium is now, everything is being built around it. So they become real, you know, other things that are going on where people live there 24/7, whether it's the Battery in Atlanta, what's going on in Edmonton, what the New York Islanders are doing. I would imagine a lot of that around the Intuit Dome is going to be built up, just like around SoFi, all those things that were there. There used to be a giant vacant lot. So.
Joe, I think hockey can have a moment here. It would have been fantastic for them if the Dallas Mavericks completed the sweep. And so you would have had a sweep in the East and a sweep in the West. We'll see what happens tonight in Minnesota for game five of that series. Regardless, the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals are both tied 2-2. The country, the world, is getting, I mean, they've perhaps heard of Connor McDavid. And by the way, like, he's the best player. The fact that, like, you may be a casual fan and heard of him, now you're really going to get a chance to see him. Let's just play this out. Let's just say the Western Conference Finals comes to a close tonight in five. The Celtics win in a sweep. Really, hockey has a week to themselves. How big can this be for that league?
Well, I think it's big, especially if the Rangers continue to do well, because New York drives a lot of this, much more than Florida would. It's exposing Connor McDavid to an audience. And when you think about Wayne Gretzky coming out of Edmonton before he ended up in LA with Bruce McNall, it can be a really, really big deal. And taking nothing away from the NHL, because the NHL, from where they were under Gary Bettman, even 10 years ago, to where they are now, where they are solidly, no matter what people say about MLS, solidly at least number four, maybe nibbling on number three, chasing baseball a little bit, but great personalities, great storylines. And, you know, you go back to Dallas, by the way, let's say if it ends up being the Stars and the Mavs in the final. Little trivia, I don't know if anybody realizes, the last time that a city had a chance to win both game, both winner titles, was not New York, was not Chicago, was not Los Angeles. It was East Rutherford, New Jersey, with the Nets and the Devils in the finals, playing at an arena that is still there, but nobody uses anymore. So I think it's big. I mean, I think whether it's Edmonton or Dallas, it will help. And I really believe that the Rangers help drive a lot of that, assuming they can get by the Florida Panthers.
You know, this this ongoing Turner WBD contract negotiation that the NBA is having, I can't help but think of hockey, only because I thought it was so big when they joined Turner in terms of having the, like, NBA, having them try to do a similar studio show. If the NBA leaves, no one's going to be talking about this, and why should they? But, like, I think it hurts hockey, you know, not being on the same network. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's a problem. You know, it's something that I don't think can be overcome, because the hockey audience is specific to itself. Now, you don't have as much of a cross promotion, but, you know, that's the case of the ESPN as well. They have both. So, you know, I think hockey's done a really good job of not worrying about everybody else and building up their own fan base and engaging across markets that nobody ever thought could be very successful with professional hockey in the NHL. So that's going to be really important. By the way, we cannot forget, Arash, last night PWHL women's champion last night. Minnesota defeats Boston in front of a sellout crowd in Lowell, Massachusetts. Tremendous to a Southern California group, Mark Walter, Billie Jean King, Stan Kasten, on getting that league launched in January and having a tremendous impact on what's going on in women's sports as well.
Joe, what was Stan's, again, I know he's talked at these Portico conference about it, but what was Stan Kasten and that group's connection to that league? Again, no team in Southern California or where we're at, Las Vegas, Hawaii. What was their connection to that league?
Mark Walter's money. that's the connection to the league. But Stan, a tremendous builder of everything, you know, from Atlanta to all the places he's been, obviously the success of the Dodgers. But, you know, I saw Stan briefly at the Sports Business Awards last week. He was there with Lon Rosen. And, you know, amazing how much time he put into that. And ironically, there was a great story that the Ohtani contract finalization happened in, of all places, Utica, New York, because that's where Stan was running a helping run a camp to sign the first PWHL class of players.
It is amazing, by the way, you know, because I'm on the Dodgers list every time there's a press release. I mean, every week there's another company in Japan, whether it's a tire company, a snack company, a whatever. I'm convinced, and by the way, if they win a World Series, it's totally worth it. But they're going to make that back just on sponsorships. And I think we felt that, but what the Dodgers have done, I mean, you go to the Dodgers Stadium now, the number of companies from Japan or ties to Japan, it's incredible. I mean, was that, again, you're signing him because he's the best player in the game, you know, doing things that we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. But, I mean, he's going to make that back for them just on sponsorships, I think.
Well, I think you make it back in a lot of ways, including broadcast rights and other deals that are cut. The amazing use of digital signage now, where you could hyper-target media markets, not just in Japan, but Japanese Americans who live here who are following. I think that's really, really important. The Dodgers are cutting edge in every way, shape, or form, and not to take anything away from the Angels, but having Shohei Ohtani playing in Chavez Ravine is a lot, lot different from a national perspective than it was when he was with the Angels.
Joe, you've been doing this for quite some time. I got to imagine you and Bill Walton crossed paths quite a number of times. He was one of my favorites. And it was just so amazing to read the texts. And, you know, if I got a text from Bill Walton, it was always like a big deal. But just to see how positive he was. I don't know if I've ever met someone more positive when he says, "Thank you for my life." And I'm like, that's a very deep text to get your remembrances of Bill Walton.
So not a lot of crossover, ironically. Okay. Cross paths several times, but the thing that there's two pieces to take away, and this is really for everyone. You have to have joy in your life. And he exuded joy. And the other thing that he did was, people always talk about their second acts. Well, Bill Walton had five additional acts from when he finished playing, you know, in the tragedy of what happened in Portland, even to resurrecting himself in Boston. Yeah. So I think the relentlessness of being unbelievably positive and bringing joy to everyone around you and enjoying every minute. 71 is only 11 years older than I am right now. And it hit me like a ton of bricks when I got the text from my buddy Terry Lyons, who knew Bill really, really well. And then you see posts from, you know, people that you and I both know, you know, Ray Ritter and other people at the NBA and Dave Pasch and Dick Vitale. And I still haven't been able to get my head around every piece. There were some amazing quotes in a story in The Athletic. But ironically, I had breakfast with this past week with Harvey Arradin, who is a veteran columnist for the New York Times, very, very close to Bill. And he was at a barbecue on Sunday when he got the text saying, "We need somebody to write Bill Walton's obit for the Times." And he's like, "You know, I can't really capture it the way it should." And he decided not to do it. But I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. People didn't realize when he didn't do the last Pac-12 games that was going to be the last time we were going to hear from him. And, you know, Conference of Champions sails off into the distance, and Bill Walton is, you know, in the great beyond right now. What an amazing life we should all emulate.
I mean, that was the first thing that I thought of. It was really the day after the last Pac-12 sporting event. And no one was a bigger champion for the Pac-12 than Bill. Loved his hometown of San Diego. When I talked to him, he said his greatest professional failure, and it wasn't his fault, and I told him that, and I think he knows that, was that he wasn't able to help the Clippers be a successful team. and really just was such a champion of that town. Moving on with social media. And listen, we both know the good and the bad of social media, and we're finding out the bad. You know, this social media account, Dove Kleiman, again, not a real person. It's a cartoon picture of I don't know who. And now there's reports that Dove Kleiman, who's got a big social media following, sold his account. So again, we don't know who, but this became news because they put out a fabricated story that got picked up everywhere, including by Pat McAfee, that Mark Davis had impregnated this woman. Now, this woman is not even his girlfriend. She's pregnant with someone else's child. I think that there was one picture of them sitting in the like Goner's box together. Again, this became news because a lot of people followed this account. B, they believe that this account is legitimate or that there's like a real live reporter behind it. But then even more so when someone like Pat McAfee, who's got a big following, basically just regurgitates it. And it's like, no, like that's not news. And so, you know, we've talked about the problems of social media, that these accounts can just basically put out like information. Again, for reporters, the issue that most reporters have is that, you know, you may spend a week on an amazing story, like one quote that you have gets like aggregated and they give a hat tip to some blog who like aggregated. And so, Joe, a long-winded way of asking, like, your thoughts on sort of like where this has gone, where some of the most influential accounts are run by nobody knows who.
Well, I think it's been a problem for as long as we've had social media, but, you know, there were people writing under fictitious names for newspapers for years as well. Yeah. So it goes back to almost where we started, Arash, where when the whole Clippers situation happened, instead of rushing to a decision, Adam Silver paused, considered, listened to what was going on, and then used all the credibility that he had to come up with the right conclusion. I think you have to do that with social. When we do our class at Columbia, which I teach a storytelling class, one of the things we always talk about is pausing. And pausing and listening is a really important thing. You know, the other thing is, as you said, reacting, and people should take more note as to what you're reacting to make sure. I've seen 7 or 8 kind of like very strange things in the last couple of weeks where I'm like, is that really true? Did that person get traded? Did so-and-so get fired? And I always look at what the source is before I put it out, and then also look around to see who else is reporting it. But it's very much follow the leader. You know, there are heads of networks now that say it's better to be first than accurate, and then you could always go back and correct. And by the way, Pat McAfee went back and apologized. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, aggregating sites, I think with AI, you're going to see more and more of that. You just got to be very careful and make sure that what you're putting out or what you're actually pushing out or amplifying is actually true.
Joe, two leagues will take a pause, at least two that are significant, will take a pause during the Olympics, the WNBA, the NWSL as well. Historically speaking, you know, have you seen that those leagues get a bump? Like, say, if Team USA goes on to win gold, and then they're like, hey, come see your hometown heroes. What kind of bump do you expect both leagues to have this summer?
They should. And by the way, not just American players, because you're going to be bringing back players who are medalists from other countries as well, hopefully, especially for the NWSL, a little bit more than the WNBA. And by the way, Team USA is not a shoo-in to win a gold medal for soccer. A better chance, obviously, in women's basketball for USA, Team USA. But I think that, yes, you should always be thinking about, and I know personally that the NWSL is already thinking about, like, what's our victory tour like when it all comes back? And they're not that far removed from doing a similar thing for the World Cup, for Women's World Cup. And MLS will do the same thing when World Cup comes around. But, yes, it's a nice bump for everybody, including a league like the AVP, by the way, who will have Olympic champions probably coming back for beach volleyball and playing all over Southern California, you know, once that's over. So, yeah, I think that kind of victory tour is great, especially for the leagues, because it gets more casual viewers involved, but also use the Olympics as a marketing tool, because people are going to remember where your players are playing and it will get mentioned on NBC, which is not your broadcaster.
I love the fact that obviously it's in Paris. When you talk about time zones, I mean, you being in New York, it's fantastic. You can watch all the games, and now because of streaming and Peacock, I mean, how does that help as opposed to, and again, this wasn't that long ago on tape delay. And, you know, you remember back in 92 with the Olympic triple cast when you would have to get pay-per-view to watch certain events. Now, I mean, again, significant games that probably should be on network television are going to be on Peacock because streaming is where things are going. How great is that on two fronts? A, Peacock is going to stream basically all the sports, but B, Paris Olympics, time zone change is not huge.
Well, you're also going into a cycle now between the Paris Olympics, the Winter Olympics in Italy, and then obviously the Olympics and the World Cup coming here, where it's going to be great for American fans. And this is where we're going to see streaming at its best, because if you are a fan of anything, if you want to go watch dressage, you can go watch dressage. And I know, Arash, you're going to really be watching dressage. But it also helps amplify in real time in a pretty great window, actually, especially with the longer days in France, where there's a lot more light, and now how all the other pieces you can do all across the country. It will be great for everyone to be able to watch, especially young people who may not be exposed to some sports that they'll be exposed to for the first time. There's no better storytelling platform than the Olympics, and nobody does it better than NBC.
Last question, because you mentioned this with New York, with how connected the world is, how significant still is if, like, the Knicks were in the conference finals? New York, Rangers. I mean, that was significant, you know, but do you believe in 2024 it's still a big deal?
Well, it's funny. The lowest rated finals of all time was the Spurs and the Knicks. So, so it's really hard to tell how important that is. It's all driven on the stars. Yeah. People would have loved to have seen Jalen Brunson in the finals. That's because he's being driven by that. I don't think New York per se matters. I think it probably matters a little bit more in the NHL because the Ranger fandom is a lot bigger. But I will tell you, the last 5 or 6 days walking around New York, you see a heck of a lot of people with Knicks gear, not as much with Rangers gear, because still hockey is a little bit more tribal than basketball. But, you know, just having the joy and the way those guys played for the Knicks and for Tom Thibodeau was great. You know, it didn't work out, but, you know, kudos to the Pacers for what they did, and really important for what's going to happen in the NBA Finals. We already know it's the Celtics, and we're going to see who's going to play them.
Yeah, listen, I think it'll be a good finals regardless. I think at least you get the Celtics there. It's a good historical brand with two stars. If it's Dallas, which it looks like that, the whole Kyrie, a part of that story is very interesting. Luka, you know, you got a couple of stars there. Joe, you're going to be off to Europe. We're going to be excited to catch up with you there. Be curious how they consume sports, and we'll talk about
Mets
that.
And Phillies. I will be seeing the Mets and Phillies in London a week from Saturday, Rush.
Oh, perfect. So we gotta catch up on that. Love that baseball is trying to expand as well. All right, Joe, we will have you back on next week again, Sports Media Thursdays, and we're gonna make this into a standalone podcast very soon. So let's leave it there for now. When we come back, I got a chance to catch up with the Heartbreak Kid, WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. As I touched on in the previous segment, we have the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. I got to chat with him. Our colleague at the Sporting Tribune, Adrian Hernandez, got to chat with him. So we mashed up our interviews, put them together, and we have it for you here now. So without any further ado, it's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. All right, we're now joined by Shawn Michaels. Again, you know him as the Heartbreak Kid, but in his new role, he is the Senior Vice President of Talent Development and Creative. Shawn, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me today.
Again, we have a big event coming up. NXT Battleground will be taking place at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Sunday, June 9th. It's 4 p.m. if you're going to be watching on Peacock. But if you're living in Las Vegas and you're hearing us throughout Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, you can get tickets at axs.com. Sean, I wanted to talk to you about the talent development role. And I've done a lot in my career, but being a part of the tryout process briefly was one of really the highlights, because I really got to see you and Paul and that whole crew do what you do and see what you see. Can you take us through the process of, you know, for example, when you guys had one of the first public tryouts for the tryouts prior to SummerSlam that took place in Las Vegas, you know, what are you looking for in terms of the next superstar?
Look, I think, again, it comes to a number of different variables, but certainly you're looking for, I don't know, you're looking for a visual picture, an aesthetic look, even if it's different. You know, I think that's, you know, again, the eyeball test is always kind of the first one that you see, but then you're going to move to, again, athletic ability, where that sort of ranks. And then you get into the promos and they start talking in there. And I don't know, just their personalities. And then also finding out who they are as a person, their comfortability. To me, a lot of it, again, just from an in-ring standpoint, I will look at footwork is one of the biggest things. And sometimes that's kind of a tell-all, if you know what I mean, if you ask me. So when everything is said and done, we always talk about the infamous it factor. And of course, that's something that, gosh, you can't really define. It's either there or it isn't. And if it were something that people could easily define, well, everybody would just apply it and then everybody be in and would this job be simple. But as you know, it just isn't that way. So you have to take in a lot of different aspects. And then it's also, as you have seen, it's a short process, again, that it happens over a couple of days, but can you get to know that person a little bit? Can you connect? Or do they make an attempt to connect to you? A lot of times when everything finishes, that's what it's going to be when it comes to the viewer at home, is can you connect, or does that viewer connect with you? But a lot of times that's hard to find out in a couple days. But you do your best to assess all those different things going on in your head and write them down on pieces of paper. And then you come to your conclusion and move on from there. So I'm kind of all over the map on that, but there's no one way to go about it. And that's what I love about this job. Again, it's not something you can put into a box and just have it be set. It's not just so much X's and O's and following numbers, because what we do is very different than anything else that's out there.
When TKO was formed and UFC and the WWE were under the same umbrella, you know, a lot of people talked about like events and stuff like that. One of the things I was most intrigued by, and this may be the first thing that happens under this new partnership, is the UFC Performance Institute and the WWE Performance Center and the synergy that may live there. Have you had a chance to check out the Performance Institute and touch on sort of, I mean, again, these two places are really trying to cultivate the future of both companies. Do you see any synergies there?
Well, look, I'll say this. I know that we are very excited about going out there, and that is one of the big to-do lists, to just see there, to actually physically get to see it. We have got to talk just a little bit with their folks out there. And if I have to tell you, again, for someone that came from, again, just being kind of a wrestling fan, and then you go through the territory days, because that's how I learned, it is very different now, but just the science that goes behind theirs and even ours now, again, how much all of that has changed, it truly is fascinating. And certainly theirs, because it's very different than ours, it's probably got multifaceted aspects of the science that would never really kind of apply in our line of work. But still very fascinating. And yes, our team is definitely looking forward to going out there and just seeing what we can glean from what it is they do And obviously, if there's anything they get from what we do, I'm sure everybody is looking for advantages at this day and age, again, to make their fighters, to make their performers the best they possibly can. So whatever it is you can do to enhance that, we're always looking out for the latest and greatest on that.
You've always wanted to give back, and you've always, you've pretty quickly post, during your time away and prior to you coming back, you had your school. You know, if I had told you 30 years ago that you and Paul Triple H would be doing this in your respective roles, what would you tell me?
No, that is the one question I've gotten throughout every one of these, and the answer has been the same. He might have been able to tell you. I definitely wouldn't. but look, it's because I didn't know it was going to be, here, perfect time, perfect place, perfect opportunity. And once I walked in these doors here, I fell in love with the place. I've always been in love with this job, with this line of work. It's something that I've wanted to do since I was 12 years old. He's the same way. It comes down to the simple fact that everything that he and I are doing right now is genuine. This is what we love. We put ourselves in the seat of the fan. And it's about giving you the best because we enjoy doing it, not because it's a job, not because it's work, not because it's how you make money. It's because it's what we enjoy. And it is. It is a part of who we are as human beings and as people. I have to say that, I certainly couldn't have told you that. But I'm living, I feel like, my best life. Absolutely love the Performance Center. Love what we're doing here in NXT. And I'm loving the idea of being, the brand that is going to come out there, have the inaugural show in the UFC Apex. And once again, have, NXT doing historic things and the WWE doing historic things to and for their fan base and for their athletes. It's going to be a fantastic time, June 9th. And we just, still have one more week to get there, have one more big week on the USA Network that a lot of big things are most likely going to be happening. So that's an exciting time to be a fan, of NXT.
Well, last question, Sean. I mean, what can fans expect? I mean, I've told all my friends in Las Vegas, and again, if you're tuning in and you're living in Las Vegas, Southern California, or Hawaii, there's not a bad seat in the house, so you're going to get a good seat. What can fans expect at the NXT Battleground Sunday, June 9th?
Well, look, it's going to be something of everything. Like I said, one way or another, Trick Williams is going to make that trip defending the NXT Championship. Again, historic moment with Roxanne Perez defending the NXT Championship against TNA's knockout champion, Jordan Grace. Triple threat for the North American Championship on the men's side with Oba, Wesley, and Joe Coffey. And then, of course, the women's inaugural NXT women's ladder match. I mean, that's going to be huge. Six women have an opportunity for that title in the ladder match. Epic and off the charts, some of the stuff you're going to see from those amazing, amazing athletic women. And then, of course, the underground match. Again, the two former cage fighters, Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice, going at it. And again, the invite to that match is going to be off the hook. And then, of course, the tag titles are also being defended that night. So big, big night. Sexy Red going to be out there. Hosting. So it is going to be an absolute blast. And a perfect place for it to happen is in Las Vegas on June 9th.
Shauna, she sings your song again, and that clip went viral. You got to go in the ring, right? You got to do something. You got to dance. But
I can get in there and dance. As long as nobody comes after me, I'll be fine.
So first things first, Sean, thank you for joining us. How was it meeting Sexy Red in person, sir?
It was tremendous. Appreciate you having me. Very exciting. She was a sweetheart. I got to be honest. I was a little scared and intimidated at first, so... but she was just lovely. She was a sweetheart of a young lady. It was a lot of fun.
Look, it looked like you were having fun. Your eyes, it looked like you felt like you were back in 97. You were out there looking like a player. Real quick, have you said her catchphrase? Are you aware of her moniker, what she does during her songs?
Now, is that the ski?
That's all I needed, yeah. Sean. Thank you. You got it. Her finishing move should be called the ski. And look, a lot of things happened last night. Of course, it was the return the return of the TNA Knockouts champion, Jordynne Grace, who was in the Royal Rumble earlier this year. And there's the history. We have Mickie James previously representing TNA at the Royal Rumble. If you could, how did this, or how quickly did this come together? And also, as people should know, Jordynne Grace will now take on Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. What does this mean for this partnership and this next evolution?
Well, look, right now, a lot of those things are still being worked out internally. Obviously, as I, you know, try to be honest with folks all the time, there's people above me that I leave to making all those kinds of decisions. What I enjoy doing is what we did last night, which is having the opportunity to bring real surprises and real, like, oh my God, moments back to the WWE, you know, back to wrestling, back to NXT. And that's what we had last night. I've been very public about being a fan of Jordynne Grace. I expressed to Hunter privately that I was very jealous that he had her for the Rumble. So that he owed me one. He owed me a big one. So look, it's we're thrilled to have her for Battleground. And we're thrilled to have her next week. This is going to be a huge epic event. One, for NXT to be the first brand to be out there in the UFC apex is just really, really big for us. And we are so honored, you know, again, to get to be the brand that gets to launch that. And then, of course, to sort of one-up ourselves like we always try to do, having TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace contend for the NXT Women's Championship, you know, fighting Roxanne Perez is going to be really, really big. Crowning a new North American women's champion in a ladder match, a big, big night. And then, of course, you know,
a beautiful title, by the way, too, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I think I love it when it goes off the rails like that, because that's what makes this business so great. And it really is. It's an exciting time. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan when even those of us that are kind of supposed to know what everything that's going on, even when you can have some crazy stuff going on with us. I think it's fantastic. It's been a joy to do, and we're really looking forward to, again, bringing you more big information and announcements next week and well into the future.
Oh, this is wonderful, and I want to say congratulations to you and the team, because in this age of social media, very rarely in wrestling do you get the surprise that's not reported on or talked about. And if I could, I'm not a part of creative. I just want to pitch a Worlds Collide, maybe a Mike Bailey versus Javon Evans, but I'll let you guys handle all that stuff and just wish that into existence. But you also talked about Ethan Page. And I do want to ask you, has there been, I guess, a change of philosophy with some of the recent pickups of bringing back Sean Spears and Ethan Page and some of these guys, Javon Evans, some of these people that have experience in that aren't necessarily from that NIL pool?
Well, look, I think I for us, honestly, here in NXT, it's always been about finding, you know, again, the best performers, the best wrestlers that we can find. But yeah, but also cultivating a great many of our own. It's, I guess I go back to no different than, even though it put me sometimes at odds with people when I was younger, this business has a little something for everybody. And so it's very, people always kind of want to, you know, narrow everything down to one way to doing things. And I just don't think, you know, I've just never done this job that way, because what you like may not be something that the person next to you likes, or what I like is not the same as what other people like. So it's more about trying to have variety. And yes, to answer your question, like certainly, I guess, I don't know if it's a new philosophy. It's certainly the philosophy that I've always had, I know Hunter's had. And again, we just want to bring the best sports entertainment we can to everybody that's watching it. We want to put on the, you know, banger after banger, you know, fantastic wrestling matches. Get, you know, we can have one that's, you know, entertaining in one way, but one that's, you know, entertaining in a different way. And I think, you know, the more open you are to different ideas and different creative possibilities, you know, I don't know, for us, putting ourselves in the seat of the fans, and Hunter and I at our core are wrestling fans. And that's certainly all we're trying to do. And just as you spoke about earlier, the possible matchups, these are all things that we've all thought about, right? So why not see if it's possible to to see how many of them we can make happen. Can't hurt to give it a try. All they can do is say no, right?
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Again, access.com to get your tickets. UFC Apex right down the street here from the station. And you can check it out exclusively on Peacock. So two more questions before I get you out of here. And again, Sean, thank you so much for the time. And the one question I was excited to ask you is because I don't think this question could fit anyone else better. When you talk about CM Punk and returning back to the WWE and spending a lot of time in NXT, you had the chance to get a second chance at returning to the WWE, similar to Punk. What can you say on him, you know, kind of mentoring some of the younger talent and just being involved at the way that he has been? Because I don't think anyone expected, obviously, him to return to the WWE, but him to be this involved like he is.
Yeah, well, look, he's been fantastic. And again, and I've always liked him and I've always appreciated him. And I'll say this, I think all of us, and I certainly don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think all of us grow and change in one form or another. And if you don't, I just don't know if that's something you ought to be overly proud about. You know what I mean? You're supposed to grow and get better with, you know, time and wisdom. But I think he's just really come to, appreciate, the same as I did, appreciate that second chance, wanting to maybe do some things differently. And it's not so much about regrets or things like that, because I think, you know, I think he would tell you he's thrilled about where he's at, and to change anything might alter where he's at, right? That's the way I always felt. It doesn't mean you didn't make mistakes or you might have wanted to do something differently. It's just that this is the road you traveled, and where you're at right now is a fantastic place. All I can say is that he's been extremely supportive of everything we do here at NXT. Every time he's been down here, been a joy to work with. And I think for a lot of us, when you walk in the doors here at NXT, that is the culture that we, that we really want around here. It's what we pour into. It's something that we cultivate here in NXT. Look, we won't have anything but that, again, which is positive energy, and it's about giving back and about supporting the future of the business that has been really, really good to us. And that's something that if you buy into that, you can exist here in NXT. And if you don't, it's just not something, you know, we certainly want to be around. And again, whether, it doesn't really matter to us how you go about coming to that place in your life or your career. But if that is something that you're willing to do and you want to be someone that wants to make a positive influence on somebody else down here, man, we'll welcome you anytime of the day and twice on Sunday. And so all I can say is that he's been really good. It's a pleasure to have him. He brings something different, you know, to the table than other people. And that's what we want here. That's what we have. We have diversity down here. No one idea has to be the right idea. A million different ways to, especially in this line of work, to creatively get us where we want to get to. So to me, anytime somebody wants to help, I say we give them a shot.
It's a beautiful thing. Sean, very, very quickly, can you believe when you talk about change, and obviously you brought up Hunter, that these two guys who did this are the ones doing what you're doing right now with the WWE?
Look, I got to be honest, him maybe, probably not me, by any stretch. But look, it's when everything's said and done, we're doing what we love. And this has been so good to us. WWE's been so good to me and my family, and obviously his as well. And it really is. It's just about giving it back, paying it forward, and enjoying ourselves in the process. And honestly, you know, hoping that we're having you all, the fans, enjoy it. It really is. That's all this stuff really comes down to, is having fun and making it entertaining for the people doing it and doing the best work we possibly can. Again, doing a good job is always fun. And right now, that's certainly what we're trying to do. The result seems to be that people are enjoying it. We're going to ride this momentum out to Las Vegas on June 9th, bring it to Battleground in Las Vegas, and hopefully keep it growing, and chugging on all cylinders from that point on.
All right, that was the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, sitting down with myself and Adrian Hernandez from the Sporting Tribune. Again, NXT Battleground will be held live at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas on Sunday, June 9th. So go get your tickets now. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark? This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.